flood of robocalls, those recorded messages from presidential candidates and their supporters, is continuing in Florida today. Sarah Palin's husband, Todd, recorded a robocall for Newt Gingrich, and the Gingrich campaign sent out this robocall attacking Mitt Romney.
As governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney vetoed a bill paying for kosher food for our seniors in nursing homes. Holocaust survivors, who for the first time were forced to eat non-kosher because Romney thought $5 was too much to pay for our grandparents to eat kosher.
Well, by the way, fact checkers debunked that claim, as they did many claims in Mitt Romney's calls. In South Carolina, Mitt Romney made as many as 10 robocalls a day. Political robocalls are exempt from the national Do Not Call registry, and unlike some other states, Florida has no law banning them. But there is something called reverse robocalling. You can pay to send one. We'll hear about that from its creator, robocall expert Sean Dakin, who also runs something he calls the National Political Do Not Contact Registry. Voters can sign up on that for free, but none of the presidential candidates have indicated that they will agree to not call you, so it's largely symbolic. But Sean, first of all, give us the snapshot on robocalls. Are they effective? Are there more? Why do campaigns do them?
To be very quick and short, campaigns use them because they can, because they're exempt from the law. The Pew Center did research over the last couple of years, and in 2008, about 49-50% of the American electorate received robocalls. By 2010, that number had increased to about 69%. And the answer to whether they're effective is no, they're totally not effective. In fact, there are some professors up at Columbia and Yale University that have been studying political communications for about 15 years now, and they've determined that robocalls have a perfect record of never having worked.
Really? I mean,
because
we hear the phrases, they're efficient but not effective. So they're efficient and they're cheap, do we understand?
They're so cheap and so easy to do that more and more politicians do them, from everybody running from dog catcher up to president of the United States. So you could call 800,000 voters for about $2,000.
So cheap, efficient, but as you said, they don't seem to be effective, at least in research. And just anecdotally, you're saying in South Carolina, we mentioned how many robocalls Mitt Romney used, it might have even turned people off.
Yeah, exactly. My members, you know, over 350,000 members, write to me every day about how much they hate these things and how much they won't vote for politicians who won't respect their privacy. The only reason why people do them, politicians do them, is because consultants tell them to do them, and consultants make money doing them.
Yeah. Well, and we've mentioned Mitt Romney. We should mention Newt Gingrich has been using them, maybe not as targeted in one state, but he's been using them across the country in a method, a robocalling method called spraying and praying. What is that?
Yes, robocalls, you know, the story around robocalls is that they're often used by underfunded candidates. And so actually for months now, I've been getting reports from people getting robocalls from Newt Gingrich all over the country, Democrats and Republicans. This really, really long robocall that's about 2 minutes long. And then it does a transfer over to a live fundraiser. And that is an example of something that is hardly ever done in terms of using robocalls for fundraising.
Well, we mentioned that in some states it's banned. Indiana, Minnesota don't allow robocalls and enforce the law. In South Carolina, it's very confusing. There's a ban on the books, but the attorney general said robocall messages were legal. Now, what he means is he's making a distinction. If a message gets left, it's legal. But if a resident answers the phone, it's not. And so that's why you hear people, you know, hanging up, automatic machines hanging up if you answer, because that's not legal.
Right, which, of course, is particularly useless. The phone is ringing. People are getting up, going across the room. Babies are being awoken. Senior citizens are being confused. You know, whether there's somebody actually talking on the other end of the phone doesn't matter. The harm has happened when the phone is
right,
wrong.
Right, right. You enable people to sign up for a Do Not Contact registry, but you also enable citizens to do some robocalls of their own. So how do you enable somebody, let's say, to respond to a Mitt Romney or a Newt Gingrich?
Well, if they get too many of these calls and they want to respond to them, they would go to reverserobocall.com. They would select, in this case, let's say Mitt Romney. Then you would put in your phone number. The system calls you. You record a voice message. You then send that robocall yourself to one or hundreds of politicians. Making a call to a candidate, it's about 99 cents. Mm-hmm. Some people really want to call all of Congress, so you can call all of Congress, but that is going to cost a little bit more. So if you want to call all of Congress for 535 members and each one of their district offices, it's about 1,800 phone calls. That's more like, I think it's about $89 to do that. And mm-hmm. we've had a bunch of people who've done that. They're particularly interested in contacting all of Congress.
Well, so wait a second, Sean Dakin. So you are using the very thing that you hate it when politicians use it for you, but you're enabling people to use it on politicians.
Exactly, exactly. So if you can't beat them, you join them. Now, we do what we think is kind of model behavior, right? So we're not calling cell phones. Politicians can call cell phones. We're not calling at dinner time. We're only calling during business hours, and we're only calling main numbers. Many people say, oh, this is great. You know, tell me when you get their cell phone numbers and their home phone numbers so I can record a call to them. And we're like, well, that would be great in terms of getting revenge, but not something we want to do from a long-term perspective.
Just briefly, of all the things that happened during campaigns, why did this one bug you obviously so much that you decided to do this?
The funny story is that in 2004, I was actually working for the Kerry Edwards campaign, and we were sent to Cleveland, Ohio. And so I personally was making volunteer phone calls, not robocalls, just volunteer phone calls in a phone bank room. And I started calling people about 2 days ahead of the election, and they started saying things like, I am going to vote for George Bush because you're calling for John Kerry, and we're sick and tired of being interrupted at dinner. And so I put down the phone, talked to some other people. They all said they were getting similar responses from people who actually answered the phone. And so I essentially said, I think we're doing more harm than good. I'm not going to be making any more phone calls personally. And so a bunch of us said, hey, you know, this is not working. Let's go do something else. And we went to have a beer, and John Kerry lost the election.
And the rest is political history. Sean Dakin went from there to found the website Stop Political Calls, the National Political Do Not Contact Registry, which candidates can or cannot listen to. That's a nonprofit. He also created ReverseRobocall.com, a for-profit where you can make your own robocall. For more, go to HereNow.org. Sean Dakin, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.